Okay. So, anyone want to start with something today?
Anyone, huh?
Anyone, go for it.
Go ahead, Lindell.
Well, I have been experiencing a kind of a transformation, I would say, a change. And we've talked about it before about communion. And I had a revelation at the beginning of the year of having common union with him. And over the past 5 or 6 months, it seems like it's been incubating in me to the culmination where now I'm taking communion every day now. And it seems to be right now, I was talking to Josh the other day, it seems to be the place where God has me, because it's like a new experience of intimacy and the doorway to who he is. Like he said, I am the door, and it's like how I'm entering into him at this point. And I'm not really experiencing a lot of other things, but as you have said before, it's like each of us are kind of on our own journey, and God knows what we need at the time. And I guess I'm saying all that to say this is that I'm not engaging with the courts, so to speak, other than if I know like there's a prayer need and I'll bring it up. But there, in some ways, and I'm sure other people deal with this, our experiences in comparison to people like Ian's or Justin's or yours or others seem kind of almost insignificant in comparison. And maybe you could talk about that, because I'm sure probably others could probably, because I know lots of people are starting this journey. In some ways, it's easy to be overwhelmed in the process, not achieving what others seem to be reaching at this particular point. In other words, they're feeling kind of somewhat left behind.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, it is a journey, and you have to start somewhere. And some people have been on this journey a lot more years. I mean, Ian's been going 30 years on this journey. Looking back, where I would probably say I started this journey maybe 12 years ago, in the way in which it's led me up to now. And there have been many places on that journey. It's not a straight line. It's not a highway which just goes straight. There's a lot of bends, a lot of curves, a lot of seemingly places you go that you wonder where you are and why you're here, but actually it's all part of the journey. It's only now I can look back and look at the map of where I've been and how I've got where I am that I can piece it all together. When I was going through it, I had no idea where it was going. I was pursuing God. That was as much as I knew. Now I look back and I can see how the different places and the different things I learned and the different times God hijacked me and did something where I wasn't expecting because he wanted to shift me into a particular direction. I look back and now I recognize all that. Previous to that, I was just trying to get by, basically, the best I could with what I had. So really, it's for everybody to find that place where they are in the journey and to relax in that place, have a desire to continue following the journey, and to discover, who you are, your identity, how you're wired, how it works for you. So that we're not trying to copy someone else's journey, but learn from it and learn the principles that others have embraced, but see how those principles apply to our life, and so that we can become a sort of living expression of this journey for our own lives. So it's very much for me a continuing, ongoing series of exciting things. And, as I've said before, you start the journey from a place of relationship. You know, that has to be the place where we start. You know, and so you're, you know, sharing the testimony of communion and the intimacy that you're finding there is a good, great one, because that's where we all have to start. In a sense, if we're going to understand the journey, part of the problem is many of us have been to various places out of sequence because there have been encounters or times where we've had an experience, or we've gone into a heaven, or we've seen a vision, or we've had these things, and we didn't really totally quite understand what was going on at the time in these things. Now, sometimes God has done that because, hey, we're forerunners and he wants us to know there's more so that we'll pursue it. And so some of those things are a stimulus and a thing that pushes us, say, hey, I didn't know this existed. It's like, wow, I want more of this. And I look back on my journey and see, you know, in a sense, I look back and think, well, they were just simple things, but God hijacked me and changed the whole direction of where I was going. I wasn't aware that it was a total change of direction, but when I look back, I can see that was what set me on this pathway. You know, for me, the first thing was, hey, your Bible is a filing cabinet. Why are you actually filing the word and not living it? That was the first step that changed the direction of my life. Because that for me, got me to look at meditating in the word, not just reading it, studying it, producing sermons from it. It became a living thing for me. You know, so that really was the starting point. Now, I had no idea where that was going to go, you know, until I now look back and think that was the beginning. That set me on a direction that when the next step of my journey a number of years later was, okay, you know, now I want you to see this stuff, so now you're going to visually meditate and engage in it. Again, that was a complete hijack. God hijacked me in another situation, opened that whole realm up, and then all of a sudden it was like, now that is the thing I'm following. I'm now following that path to where it leads. And eventually it led to me into an encounter in where he took me into heaven. Involuntarily, I had no idea of how I got there. You know, now I look back and think there it was a really intense experience. But, you know, then it took me 2 years to discover how to get back and how to engage it, you know. And those 2 years weren't wasted, because those 2 years were spent developing the ability and the desire to engage God and to engage God in the realms of heaven, having had a foretaste of it, you know. And even when I had my fast and all the encounters I had on the fast, they seemingly were really disjointed experiences at the time. Now I look back and I can actually see what God was doing. You know, I can see why he took me there, why he showed me this, why he did this first. You know, I understand now. At the time, I was just completely overwhelmed with, you know, 80-odd encounters in 3 weeks every day, experiencing things which were just like, whoa, you know, is this real? You know, yeah, it is real, but what does it mean? You know, I didn't understand. You know, but because I knew that this was what my life was always intended to be, I continued to pursue it. You know, I didn't come out of the fast and say, right, oh great, I've had my encounters now, brilliant, now I can write a book. I came out of the fast saying, now I need to pursue this every day, and this needs to be my lifestyle. I need to do this every day of my life. I want to engage heaven every day. Now, I didn't understand the full thing of government at that point in time, of courts. And I mean, I went to a court. I saw how one functioned. I saw thrones. I didn't realize that, you know, I had a throne or a mountain at that point. I just saw some, and then it was like, okay, what does that mean? I'm going to pursue it. And as I pursued it, I found out more about the governmental side, but it was the intimacy side which really was the beginning of the pathway. So many of my encounters were around the Tree of Life or the throne of grace or the Garden of God, or pools, or waterfalls, or the River of Life. It was all in Eden. It was all in the Garden of God, and it was all centered around my own personal garden as well, learning to engage God on the inside of me. And for me, that's the key. You know, if we try and strive for government, then we'll be coming probably out of the wrong motive. It's like we embrace intimacy, engage God, know Him, know us, understand Him, experience Him in totally different ways, then He then begins to reveal us in lordship and kingship and sonship as we're willing to be His friends. You know, Jesus said, you know, I no longer call you servants, you know, you're my friends. And my friends, I just reveal myself to in a totally different way. So, yeah, everyone has different experiences and different ways. The key is intimacy, and whichever way we engage it, that's okay. Now, I think there are actual ways in which we can learn if we can begin to train our senses. I mean, I think that's the key with me doing the manual and everything, is so that anybody from wherever they start and wherever they have had encounters can look and see, this will help me to be able to tune or train those things, or to fine-tune them, or to direct them, or focus them, so that in focusing them, I can actually have, you know, experiences of them, which will enable me then to understand, well, this is my government, this is what God is actually calling me to and for, and I flow out of that. You know, so, you know, I would encourage anybody to seek for intimacy, and to start with, I would encourage people to develop that within their own life, within their own spirit, because that is where God dwells. You know, we are a house of God. We are a dwelling place for the presence of God within the kingdom that's within us. And if we've never learned to open that realm, and if we've never learned to see that kingdom not just be in God's sphere in us, but to be in our sphere as we surrender to that rule of God in our lives, then, you know, we may have lots of experiences, but they won't really be enabling us to fulfill our destiny, because they will just be experiences. As we learn to experience Him, then we'll learn to see ourselves from the perspective that He sees us, then our identity as a son will lead us to rulership. If we don't know we're a son, we're never going to rule. So it's identity out of His relationship with us, which then enables us to engage all the other things. So personally, I wouldn't be encouraging people to pursue the courts or the mountains or all those things to start with. You know, when people have had experiences of them and they ask me to explain them, or can you take me? Yeah, I can, and we can go and we can do some of those things. Hopefully they will be an inspiration to pursue the intimacy that will enable us to do those things ourselves when we need to do them out of the relationship we establish. And for me, that relationship is deepening all the time. You know, I mean, I was with the other Washington group yesterday, and I shared, in a sense, a little bit of my personal experience over the last few months. And, you know, I had begun to see opening my first love gate as a way of getting to do what God wanted me to do, rather than first entering into intimacy. And, you know, so I would embrace God, and then it would be, okay, what are we doing today? Where are we going? You know, what have you got for me? What's my mandate? You know, and as I looked at the sort of the third module of the thing, and first love, well, initially it wasn't going to be a whole module. It was going to be one session to, hey, let's open this door, then let's look, engage our spirit and our gates, and let's understand how that works. And I opened my first love gate one day, which I do every day, and rather than just using it as a transition point to something else, God just wouldn't let me go. He embraced me. One day the Holy Spirit embraced me. Another day Jesus embraced me. Another day the Father embraced me. Another day just it seemed like all three of them were surrounding me. They wouldn't let me go. You know, and it was like I just had to sort of accept that there was something more that I was missing. And really, over a period of maybe 6 weeks or so, I just got a deeper revelation of what it was to know the person of God, to know the Holy Spirit, to know Jesus, to know the Father, to realize what that embrace was. And it struck me very much that the revelation that John received, that he wrote in his Gospels, which is my favorite probably book in the whole Bible, John's Gospel, and I've just received such intimacy out of that, came because he was the disciple that he said Jesus loved and who had his head on Jesus's breast and had that place of intimacy of reclining with him. You know, what did he receive by being close to him? You know, what did his spirit download from heart to heart communication with Jesus? I believe it's what enabled him to write a gospel which was totally different from the others, that was enabled him to be able to talk about rivers of living water, about fountains of life, about the I ams of God, about being a habitation, a dwelling of God, all those things. You know, that for me came out of intimacy, ultimately enabled John to step into the realm of the Spirit, to see into realms of heaven, to step into the realms of heaven, to have those amazing visions and encounters, and to walk in the realms of the angels and all those things because of intimacy. And so for me, I've just gone to a whole different level of being in him, being surrounded by him, being embraced by him. Now, you know, what was going to be one session will probably be 12 sessions, because that whole first love experience and ongoing relationship is absolutely key to everything else. You know, and without it, nothing else will really function. And so, you know, I want to pass on some of what I've learned there and open the doorway for people to experience the presence of God and, you know, and to experience the I am of God. You know, it just struck me, you know, when I was embraced by God's presence, that he is I am. And therefore, you know, when Jesus said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the door. Well, if he is the door, if I lean into him, then the doorway is open for me. You know, he's the resurrection and the life. I mean, what does that really mean? To have the resurrection and the life in us, in our spirit, wanting to be manifested around us and through us, so we're a channel of the resurrection and the life to others. You know, what is it to be the light of the world? And to have the light of the world living in us as a dwelling place. I mean, I just had just such an amazing time. When actually a lot of other things in my life weren't so good. But that was just so amazing that it enabled me to see everything from a different perspective. And so that's where I would encourage everybody to start. And not try and figure out all the other things, but to get that intimacy. Because, you know, one of the things Jesus said was, you know, before Abraham, I am. You know, before Abraham was, I am. Death, that really means is that eternity is in us. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can connect to his thoughts about us and his heart for us and how he sees us and who we really are, actually within that intimacy that's already with us wherever we go, you know, and everything else flows out of that. You know, the door of first love, is essentially a transporter beam that transports us back into Eden. You know, where we can just engage in the reality of that, which just our own life and our own garden, our own spirit and our own mountain is just a reflection of the mountain of God and Eden. You know, and we can get that experience, which enhances what we have going on the inside of us, so that heaven is flowing through us. You know, now, yes, many people have had some amazing things. But actually, what did Jesus really say to people that really counts is, you know, I want to know you. You know, he said to a whole load of people who said, yeah, I've cast out this demon and I've prophesied and I've done all these things in your name. And he said, well, depart from me, I don't know you. Now, of course, he knew them. You know, they were believers, but they were doing stuff for their identity rather than doing stuff because of their identity. And he didn't recognize them because they weren't actually who he had created them to be. They were shaped by the things they were doing rather than doing the things from the shape and being conformed to the image that God intended us to be, which was always going to be like Jesus, you know. So, yeah, we can get overawed sometimes with the amazing testimonies of other people, but really when it comes down to it, God only wants us to be faithful to who we are and to our identity, and we find that in intimacy, then that frees us up into everything else.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding is that as I'm taking the time, and it's something, I mean, I've never looked forward to anything probably other than maybe when I would read my word as I do communion. I first of all set a reminder through the day so that I remember to take it. Yes. But now, I mean, I'm just like, okay, can I get some private time here to take it? And it's like every time I take it, it's like there's an unfolding of who he is inside of me. You know, the John 6 where it says, if you eat my flesh and drink, but you abide in me and I abide in you. And so it's a physical, tangible experience that I can participate in. And as I chew, I try to get something really hard because I want to chew it. And I picture myself. I'm, and it's weird. I know it sounds strange to my natural mind, but my spirit is saying like, yes, go for it. And I feel every day like I'm drawing closer in intimacy, and I had no idea that communion would allow me to experience that level of intimacy. Yeah. Without seeing, you know, anything other than perceiving that I'm with him and in him and through him and all those terms that we use to describe our close connection that we have with our spiritual father.
Yeah. But the reality is that is real. You know, it's like you are experiencing, which is the key. And your spirit knows, which is more important than just seeing something that you don't know. Because you know that you know, and the depth that is revealing and releasing to your spirit. Actually, yeah, sometimes our cognitive mind hasn't caught up yet. But what we're drawing, I mean, someone described it yesterday as like osmosis. It's like you get close to something and it draws from, you're drawing from him into you, you know, and your spirit is just becoming, just having the revelation of who he is, who you are, which will then enable all those other things to come out of that, you know. And if you think of Jesus, he spent 18 years in obscurity, in apprenticeship, learning a whole lot of stuff, and 3.5 years of public ministry. So we often want the stuff that everyone sees, but the preparation for that is absolutely vital, you know. So, you know, for me, I wouldn't be too concerned about what you're not seeing. Just be, you know, just as you are, grateful for what you're experiencing and encountering, because it's changing your life and it's transforming and will be the pathway that enables you to be able to do everything else that your destiny decrees out of that place. You know, because you're going to know you a whole load better than you knew yourself before. And as you're embracing there, the thoughts that he has about you and his heart for you and that scroll of destiny that he has written for you is actually, you're absorbing that and you'll be drawn to it, and your desires of your heart will take you towards that as you come out of that place. Because that really is what sonship's about. It's about the Father's heart and the Father's desires that as a son I just long to fulfill, which is exactly what Jesus did. You know, and Jesus said, you know, the Father in me does his works through me. And as you're experiencing what is in you, it will come through you, and it will flow through you without a doubt, you know. So it's great. I mean, I think it's, you know, excellent testimony, really, of just the different ways that God meets with all of us. But it's all part of our journey.
Thanks, Mike. I'll let someone else ask a question.
Okay. Feel free, unmute yourself if you're muted.
I'm
Well, I just want to confirm is that the communion, because this week I was sitting at the communion table and the Lord handed me a prescription, but a lot of people want you to take them to heaven, and can you take me to the courts? And the Lord just said, no, we go to the communion table. And he continues to do that, taking, you know, people want to rush into the encounters and those things, and the Lord just wants people to go to the communion table. So I very much agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much agree.
Yeah, and, you know, some I know God has been, when people have been engaging in heaven, taking people to that communion table there. Mm-hmm. Not just in this realm, actually, you know, within the tabernacle you had the showbread, and you had, you know, the symbolic of the bread of life there. You know, you've got in the ark, you have the manna, again, symbolic of that, taking on a deeper level of intimacy and fellowship and relationship, you know, and there's a whole load more that I guess we're going to discover and experience in these things over the coming months and years, that is just going to open up this realm, you know. Because ultimately, when you've really fully take on what John 6 is saying, the abiding and the fellowship is so that we can live forever, you know. And I'm, you know, not talking about, you know, eternal life as in the quality of it, but actually the length of it. We don't have to die, because the transforming power of his body and his blood literally can transform us physically, genetically, in every other way, so that we can embrace the fullness of the abundance of his life. You know, because he gives us abundant, overflowing life. You know, there is no death. There is no sting of death once we realize the power that's available in that. We know the negative power that was available through communion, because we can read that in Corinthians, because some died and some, you know, some were asleep, some were sick, because they weren't doing it correctly. So if we are embracing the fullness of the life of it, we can expect the fullness of that life to be expressed in ours, which is a transformation into the image and being transfigured, not just spiritually or emotionally or in our soul, but our actual physical body, to embrace the resurrection and the life. You know, because, you know, I have no intention of dying. You know, I want to fulfill everything that God has called me to do, and I want to be around for a long time. So for that to take place, I need transformation. I need his life active in my life to bring me into that place of confirmation to his image. You know, and I think, you know, the revelation of that is just going to explode, really. So it's great, you know, really good. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else got something they want to ask?
I have something I'll share. I can't see you guys, so can you hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. yeah, so I'm just finding, hearing, listening, I'm in agreement with, you know, when I hear Mike Lindell, you know, say, you know, kind of looking at others and in comparison, it doesn't seem like much, and then I hear you encouraging him, you know, basically enjoy where you are and what the Lord is doing with you and each step that you take, and I absolutely agree with that in the fact that there is a, you know, there's a, you know, what the Lord is doing within his body, and everybody's at different levels. You know, for me, it's becoming something that I've known by faith and believed for years, but now it's becoming, you know, personal, or I guess an experience. I want to use experience, but a relational experience where something, you know, in the Word, from, you know, different teachings and different understandings, that revelations and whatnot that I've learned, that say no longer is it something that I can just know about now, but there's a depth there and it's growing. And I don't necessarily feel a whole lot of go ahead for some of the things that like I have a desire for, some of the different interactions with the courts and stuff. At times, I guess, if you will, I feel permission to deal with some of that, but mainly my personal experience and journey is, it agrees with what you said. It's, I just want to know him, and I want to take the time to engage with him. And, you know, again, the way for me to do it is much like your, you know, teaching in the different sessions is about, you know, engaging with the God of the Bible, not just reading it, not just knowing it, but literally engaging with him. And so I had an experience not, say, 2 Sundays ago where I was to preach, and I was just overcome, I don't know, fear, I think. You know, again, this event that took place was not, I didn't have a visual, but I perceived it almost in a, it was a reality where I literally, there was this giant, you know, dragon, you know, being, I don't know how to explain it, but I was able to slay that sucker and I was able to slay him, and I think the framework had come from something that you had shared some time ago, Mike Parsons, but I was sitting there, and I was to preach, and I just had this thing going on inside of me that was just trying to stop me, and so I killed that sucker, and I pulled that scroll, you know, out of its belly. The best way I could relate it to it would be like basically taking back what the enemy had tried to prevent from being released, what was mine and what was mine to release to the congregation that day. And so in doing that, then everything immediately changed after that. And so It was a great experience in that I was able to take, you know, previously what would have been, you know, a fear, or, you know, fear of man, and I would have prayed for it, where now understanding the depth of relationship and destiny and everything, that I was able to go deeper and actually carry it out. As I've heard it said, I've never experienced anything like that before, but I can tell you that it was liberating, and I was able to then, you know, go and do things that I felt very free, and yeah, so very exciting to see, to know that in this walk for so long. It's just been something I've known, and I've known it's right, and I've known, you know, about things about God. But in this day and age, that I personally engage with Him purposely, you know, every day, and seeing the fruit of that, and then the benefit for others around is just beyond awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, great. And the key is the fruit. You know, there has to be a outworking and an expression that other does benefit others. It's one that flows then from us so that we can manifest that around our lives. You know, and I think that's the key. So often things in the past, you know, you hear great testimonies of amazing visions and this, that, and the other, but okay, where's the fruit? What did that actually do in affecting other people? And so I would say, yeah, keep going with it. It's awesome. You know, enjoy the journey. It is a place of rest. You know, everything flows out of rest, not striving and struggling for something, but resting in, and just keep going with it. You know, and you know, those sort of weird things like slaying dragons and giants and doing all that stuff. You know, for some people, they say, well, what are you talking about? You know, it's just weird. But, you know, they're just symbols of the enemy in one sense. They represent the enemy's desire to rob, kill, and destroy. But God wants to give us abundant life. So as we deal with those things, it releases what they have stolen from us. And I think so many people have been stolen from, robbed of their destiny, of who they are, their identity. And they're wandering around not knowing why they're here. They don't feel significant. They feel worthless, valueless. When we embrace God in actual experience and not just theory, all that stuff just goes away. It's like, you know, what does it matter what anyone else thinks about me when I know what God thinks about me? You know, I don't need to look to man. I don't need to look to things. I don't need to look to what I do. It just flows out of knowing how He feels about me and what He says about me. I don't need anything else in that sense. So it's so vital that we get this, you know, by personal experience, whatever those experiences are. You know, and I think the more mature we get, the more they become experiences of our spirit, so that our spirit knows. We just know. We're experiencing it. We know. Rather than, well, okay, I've got to see, I've got to have a vision, I've got to have this. We just know. You know, that's most of my encounters are my spirit is encountering and knowing and feeding back to me what's going on, where I am, what's happening. Yeah, I can describe that because I've learned to interpret what my spirit is communicating so that I can express it to others in a way which will be visual, or it will be colors and description, but actually my spirit just knows. It's like, and that knowing is really the ultimate, because ultimately we're going to a place where we can live in dual realms, where our spirit can be engaged in the realm of the spirit, enthroned, operating in governmental authority, and yet I'm here in this realm outworking that governmental authority, and totally cognitive of everything I'm doing, but also totally cognitive of what the spirit is doing and what my spirit is doing, so that my soul just flows together in unity with my body and spirit. Everything's just flowing, you know. And that's what God's ultimate is. We don't just have visitations or visions of something. We have a habitation where we're dwelling, living, and all these things are just practice. They enable us to learn to tune in with the eyes of our spirit rather than having to strive with the eyes of our heart. Because, you know, when I look to engage the eyes of my heart, majority of the time I'll close my eyes. So I will close my physical eyes to turn on the eyes of my imagination so that I can engage something and connect with something. But when the eyes of my spirit are functioning, my eyes are open, so I can do everything I need to do cognitively. I can see, taste, touch, smell, everything, and yet my spiritual eyes are seeing and engaging in other realms, whether they be the realms that are around me or the realms in the realms of heaven, at the same time, and that's ultimately where we're going with this. So the more we get to practice knowing things, the easier that is going to become. The more we, I'm not saying we shouldn't learn to engage our imagination, because I teach people and practice that as part of our journey, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's actually just part of our journey, and I think true maturity is when we're just living and knowing, and actually we don't need to be seeing, because I think when we're seeing, we're not seeing here. You know, and so we have to be able to live in both realms, and therefore that's how we learn how to do it, by engaging our spirit, and so our soul is still active here. And I think that's really where this journey is taking us. You know, and that's what Jesus did. That's how he could talk to Nicodemus and say, look, you know, I'm he who's come out of heaven, and I'm still there, basically. You know, while I'm talking to you here, I'm there. Well, that's exactly what he wants us to be functioning in. Dwelling there, knowing what I'm doing there, but also totally okay with what I'm doing here, and it one flowing to the other, so that I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. I'm only administering that, and then I'm only flowing out of it. You know, well, okay, yeah, we need our gateways open, and we need our spirit in soul in cooperation and in unity and come together and all those things. Of course, there's a process and a journey to go through to get there, but we're well on that journey, I think. And so some of what you're describing, you know, today, you know, is encouraging. I get encouraged when I hear testimonies. You know, it's, they're encouraging to me to see, hey, yeah, God's doing this stuff. It may all look slightly differently, but it's all part of the same journey. It's all what God is doing to bring us to that place of sonship and maturity. So we'll be in that position of government or authority, and we will be able to manifest the government of God on earth and see, you know, the increase of that government, yeah, as we begin to function in it and it flows through us in different ways. So, yeah, excellent stuff.
Good morning, Mike.
Oh, hiya.
I wanted to share a couple things. I've been involved for quite a while as an advisor to a ministry that is doing home groups all over this region. We've been doing it about 3 or 4 years with a point of just bringing people into the presence of the Lord and experiencing the anointing and the glory. But it's kind of interesting. I led one last week. And they're a group of people. It reminds me of the early charismatic days, that new, fresh entrance into the Holy Spirit. So I had a group last week that we were doing what you were talking, we were worshiping, and I was taking them through the explanation of the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know, into the presence, into the first room, and then before the altar of incense. And so at some point along the way, we opened the curtain, and there were a dozen or so that felt the heat in their face, and I explained to them what that was. That was the glory of God, you know, coming through that curtain. So it was pretty exciting. The point I'm getting to is that afterwards, a man came to me from coming out of a church that, you know, a classical, traditional church. And he's begin to tell me that he's been going to heaven and experiencing heaven and looking in, and he says, I'm not told anybody this, but I'm just wanting to find out if I'm crazy. So I grinned at him and I said, no, you're not crazy.
No more than the rest of us.
Yeah, not more than the rest of us. Yeah. So I thought, here it is. This is breaking out even without any direction, encouragement. God's bringing people into these experiences everywhere. So I just wanted to share that with you. That was pretty exciting. I gave him some tips and told him to keep going back to that portal, keep going back there and letting God lead him in. And then I gave him some names of people that he could tune into and get some teaching. And so it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, that the sound is coming. It's coming out of heaven, and people all over the world are being drawn to it. You know, they may not know what it is. They may be having some of these experiences and think, wow, this is weird. Am I mad? Am I going crazy? But the reality is, it's the call of God, the sound of heaven, and people's spirits are starting to vibrate and come together and be drawn to connect, you know. And again, I find that so exciting, you know, because they're the generation that are coming. It's not about age. It's not about, you know, them being young people, because the generation that went in with Joshua and Caleb were anything in terms of those who went to war, were anything from 20 to 59. You know, so some of them were probably in their mother's womb when they first come up to cross over and didn't. And there were those that were 19 that weren't in the army of God, you know, who 40 years later get to go in. So, you know, we have a whole generation to unite around the call of God and bringing people into their destiny and enabling them to be the generation that are going to really do the stuff when they get the fullness of it. We just need us to be able to mentor them. And so it's great that you're able to just connect and then point someone in the right direction and encourage, you know, because that's all part of what we're about. You know, it's about being able to, you know, encourage that next generation and those that are hearing the sound, you know, to tell them, no, you're not crazy. There's a whole load of people out there. We're all going through the same stuff and we're all beginning to start to join up and God is connecting us so that we can support each other and encourage each other on the journey. You know, because as many of us who are here saying, yeah, fantastic, brilliant, this is the right place, there will be a whole lot of others who are saying, oh, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, you shan't touch angels, no, you can't go to heaven, you'll die. You know, all the religious stuff which will try and stop people. It's absolutely vital that we have people like yourselves that can say, no, yeah, this is right, this is what God's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and actually here's a whole load of others, you know, you can connect with, and I think that's just really awesome, you know. And so, you know, expect more and more of that, you know? Awesome.
Really, I have to be honest with you, though. I was a little jealous, you know, these new people that have no history. They don't have to get rid of anything. And some of us who have, you know, had a background, we've got to unload before we can take. And here's this guy, he's telling me about heaven. He goes all kinds of directions and sees all kinds of different angles. And I'm in thinking to myself, way to go, man. Take me with you, you know. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting, you know. And, you know, it isn't a race. You know, it's a journey. And, you know, things will come together. You know, God will draw the people and release what he needs to release for us to be able to do what we need to do. We just have to keep pursuing him and cultivating the desire of our heart to pursue him, to outwork our destiny, and whatever role that we've individually got to play will begin to unfold and outwork as the desires of our heart lead us towards it, as we just maintain that intimacy and being gentle and humble in heart. I mean, I think that's the key thing Jesus taught me, was, you know, take my yoke upon you, you know, and learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart. And that really was a really, really key lesson for me to learn. And I pursue that all the time, taking the yoke of Jesus, just learning what it is to be gentle and humble in heart, and that willingness to keep pursuing it, you know. And you know, God will work it out, you know. He's not dangling a carrot to entice us to something and then not give it to us. You know, he's drawing us because he knows what he's doing. He knows what we need, and he knows the timing that we need it in. And if we just keep following the journey, everything we need will be along the way. You know, it may not look like we thought it was going to look like. Mine certainly didn't. But actually, when I look back now, I can see, hey, God knows an awful lot better than me. You know, and the way he took me, it wouldn't have been the way I would have chosen to go, but he knows best. And he knows how long I need to stay in one place before I'm ready to embrace a new place. You know, yeah, I believe those things are speeding up because of what God's doing in these days, but it is still a journey. It's not a race. And so long as we finish the race and get that well done, good and faithful servant, that's what matters. You know, and you know, I can't compare myself to anybody else. Everyone else has got a different role, a different journey, a different path to tread. And I just need to be me. You know, you need to be you. And when that is who we are, that's when everything will start to outwork. You know, which is pretty awesome, really. Excellent. So, yeah.
Amen. Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you just told us today we have longer than we think, so that's encouraging. You know, we're not limited to the natural life, so.
We certainly not. Absolutely not.
And I've quoted that scripture often over the years, you know, satisfy you with long life. So that satisfaction of fulfilling the will of God is what we're after.
Yeah.
When that happens, and we're, you know, it's in the hands of God.
Yeah.
The length of our life is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. That's very good.
Amen.
So, anything else anyone's got?
Yeah, Mike. Unless somebody else does, somebody else have something? David, you have something? No. And Kristen, I can't see if you do. And obviously she probably doesn't. Okay. Question about, I was recently listening to a teaching and it was talking about expanding your heart, as Paul's talking about in Corinthians, where he's talking to the Corinthians and he's saying that you're basically in my heart. And that because of that, when you gather together and you're going to judge this man, I'll be with you in spirit. And then he tells them that that he has them in his heart, but they don't have them they don't have him in their heart, and that their heart is closed in and small. And This has been challenging for me because, you know, pastoring, you know, I've realized that people are in my heart, but it's really when I'm in their location or when something has come up in their life that I know I need to, and then I'll go to, so to speak, that department, is that something God wants to change in us? I know you had an experience one time where you saw the world and the Lord really opened up your heart to a new dimension of the world. And I'm really wanting to expand my heart. I'm really wanting to be someone that holds people in my heart all the time, you know. And so what could you give me as far as maybe advice? Now, it's very possible as I continue in communion that's just going to happen. But I just thought maybe there might be something practical.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I personally, I found that my heart was extremely small because I'd never engaged it, you know. And, you know, I mean, the Bible describes, you know, the soil of our heart, and we got good soil and we got hard soil and rocky soil and all those sorts of things, which is the sort of the spiritual state of our heart, if you like. But when I first encountered God in the garden of my own heart, it was a tiny little place, no bigger than the room I'm in at the minute, which is like it had a tree, a little patch of grass, a swing in the tree, and a little bench. That was it. And I didn't even know where it was. I mean, that was so how disconnected I was to understanding my own heart. I'd never been there. So I didn't, you know, I understood the whole thing of emotions and that stuff. But it's a dimensional place, you know, and once I realized where it was, and then the connection to the garden that God gave Adam and Eve to tend and cultivate now applies to our heart, and then the river that was flowing from Eden into that garden and then came from that garden to break into four rivers and flow out to the rest of the world. You know, now I've got four chambers in my heart, and it's like, okay, there's a analogy here, and there's a connection here that I need to be aware of. So I began to focus on the garden of my heart and engaging God there, seeing the river of life flowing to that garden, and then I began to cultivate that garden. I planted testimonies in that garden. I got fruit to grow on trees in the garden that I could go back and eat. You know, now I have everything that I've engaged in heaven reflected in the garden. So I have mountains, I've got pools in there, I've got a waterfall that comes out of heaven that flows into there from my spirit. You know, I tend it and I cultivate it. That was the first thing I learned. And it was all about inviting him. Like Psalm 23 became the focus of my building my heart. Because it was like, okay, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Where are those green pastures? Actually, it's in the garden of my heart. I have a green pasture in there. I have quiet waters flowing in there that I can actually sit down. There's a table set there that I can engage in. You know, it's a wonderful place. And as I began to build it, cultivate it, if you like, you know, the other day I had an encounter with wisdom, an amazing encounter that I did not want to lose. I wanted to, and I took it, and I took it into my heart, and this whole plateau and this forest with this clearing in this forest developed out of that testimony that I can go back to, and it's a special place. You know, all that sort of stuff sort of started to take place. Now, then when I began to engage more in God with intimacy about other people, if you like, and other things, and my destiny and things like that, God then began to show me what it was to cultivate desire in my heart for his purposes, for his will, for people, that I could take people into my heart, that I could then, when I go into heaven, they go in with me. Then I began to cultivate desire. So, you know, when he showed me this world, the world, and he got me to take it and put it in my heart, it's like that wasn't just what I did. That changed something. But then I pursued, what does it mean to have the world in my heart? What changes is that going to make in me? How does that make my thinking different? Hey, that means that I may need to be willing to go to the rest of the world. I mean, to connect to the world, which is what I'm doing now. All that flowed out of that taking it into my heart in the first place and then meditating what it meant. So the desire that created in me began to shape and change and direct me, because now I've got a heart which he can write on. You know, the tablets of my heart are things that he can write and reveal and unveil my destiny on, which will then draw the desires towards those things, you know. And so I've learned to just begin to meditate and cultivate desire. So if there's like, okay, you think about people, you know, I carry our bench of three in my heart, and I carry our seven, our group of 12, and that gives me access to love them and to bless them and to decree things for them, because I carry them and God's desire for them, not my desire. When I take something into my heart and my heart gets bigger and bigger, then I'm looking for God's desire for them, not mine. So I don't want to manipulate and control things. I want to bless them. And so I begin to cultivate that desire, look into what was for them. So a whole dimension things unveils. But first, it's like, cultivate the relationship with God there, and then out of that relationship, then you begin to cultivate and tend the garden of your heart so that it has greater capacity, it gets bigger, you know, the river flows strongly through it. Then it actually becomes a channel rather than just a place where it's dammed up, so our heart must be open to others, and then for a flow of God to flow through it to the world around us, and all those things. You know, there's other things. You know, you learn about the dance floor and the soaking room and other areas that we engage our heart in to experience more of God. But initially, you know, I would just encourage you, start to cultivate and tend it. You know, treat it as a precious thing, because it's the source of life that flows connected to our spirit out through us, you know, and we can take things there, but it's not automatic, and it has to be tended and cultivated. You know, if there are stones in there, let's make sure we get rid of them. If there are weeds, let's get them tended. You know, we don't want a wild garden that's out of control. We want something that's looked after, that's precious, that's special. And, you know, that's how then you can go on to other things that open up as a result of that. You know, as I said, I would never have been able to take the world into my heart if I hadn't got bigger than, you know, a tree, you know, and a piece of grass. You know, it's only as my heart grew, as I cultivated, because my heart, I'm responsible for looking after it. You know, it's not God's, you know, it's not God's responsibility, it's mine, but we do it together because he's the good shepherd. And so I don't have a want because he's the good shepherd, and I can sit with him and fellowship with him and dine with him and just cultivate the relationship there again that will enable me then to see things from his perspective and hopefully love people the way he loves them. So, yeah.
That's good, Mike. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okie dokie. All right, okay, well...